Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Welcome to Lost in America, episode 83. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Mike Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner B Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at K-A-P, Cap in America. On the podcast today, we have returning to the show, Mr. Will Savitz.
Yeah, I love when we bring back returning guests. I hate meeting new people.
I don't like new people.
Yeah.
Will, you get to a certain age, you want to meet new people.
No.
Everyone knows that. So we know Will. That's why he's on.
That's why he's great.
He's also on because he went to Pakistan.
Yeah, Pakistan.
Pakistan.
I learned that from President Obama.
To do comedy. He went there. He's going to tell us all about how that trip was, doing comedy in Pakistan. And he just got back from Australia. So that'll be fun to talk about him about that. He was at the Melbourne Comedy Festival with Andy Curtin doing comedy out there. But
shout
before
out.
All of that, Kaplan.
Yeah. What's going on?
What's going on with you? I heard soccer season's back.
We're back, baby. The spring birds and the bees are chirping, and you know what that means? It means another season. This year, though, I was a head coach. We talked about last year the pod. I was a head coach for a team that didn't win any games, so I got
zero
demoted.
Zero wins.
Yeah, demoted. I lost my job. Ownership wanted to go in a change of direction.
Yeah, I would think.
They wanted to keep me in a consultant job, but I worked out a deal. I'm back as an assistant coach. You know, like a...
You know what? Can I say one thing that they should have done?
What's that?
Made you the sideline, the announcer. That's yes. What you always do with terrible coaches.
Yes, like the Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, they're a good guy, but they don't know how to win. So yeah. You make them the play-by-play, the color guy.
Watch this. Well, yeah, that's my next move because we're not off to a great start. We've got a couple games. But I'm starting to stir up a little bit of controversy. We got a new head coach, right? And I'm in there as like a defensive coordinator or something, or the quality control expert.
Okay, so you're still on staff.
I'm on staff.
Like Mike Brown, took a demotion.
Yeah, now Teddy already is telling people who ask him about it. He says, my dad's the assistant coach because he doesn't know a lot about soccer. He knows more about basketball.
Oh, okay, that's
so
good.
That's what he says. And but Mike, the head coach wasn't there 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
I filled in.
Oh, that's good.
Was really hungover, I got to say, during the traffic of the festival.
Not a good
Another
start.
Dad kind of helped me, but I want to say we played to a draw.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. And then last week, head coach back in the sidelines. Opening play, this guy comes up, he dials up a play. Opening kickoff, you know, what do you call it? Like the face-off? That's a hockey term?
I think you just call it the kickoff.
The kickoff?
Yeah.
Kid on our team kicks the opening kick straight, and it goes into the goal from... he scored in 3 seconds. I've never seen this happen in soccer.
Can I ask, did it touch anyone?
It didn't touch anyone.
Then that's not a goal.
Oh! Well, I took credit as the offensive coordinator for dialing that play up in the week that he was out.
Okay.
And then we proceeded, this other team proceeded to rip off 15 straight goals. They had two ringers. They were like running. They looked like Brazil. So there's a little bit of controversy because when I coached the team draw 4-4, 5-5.
That's a real basic rule. What referee allowed that goal to count?
I don't, you know, they have a new thing this year where they have... parents are coaches, but they also have like an outside system they hire. They wanted like consultants almost to like help make sure we're coaching the right way.
Okay.
So these guys are like really on top of it. They're like micromanagers. like they're running into the drills in the middle. They're like getting it. Like the kid's trying to like do a little dribbling drill, and then they're just running in trying to like, dads, do this, and they're like trying to make you like get out, make the kid like dart and get out of the way and stuff.
Oh wow!
So they're really on top of the fundamentals and teaching the kids the right way to use their feet and stuff yeah. that we're not doing because we're slacking.
What do you teach them? Use their hands?
We just tell them if they kick the ball, kick the ball.
The fundamentals, like use your feet.
No, because they're like
in soccer.
They're like don't just like they're like basically yelling at parents when like the ball's near the goal and a kid just clears it but is booting it away.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
And you're like, cheer? They're like, no, don't cheer, parents. Don't cheer for that. We want them to be in control of the ball. We want them to learn ball control. So they're more concerned with that stuff. They're not paying attention, to your point, what I was getting at, to the nitty-gritty of the rules of the game.
That's not nitty-gritty. A kickoff that's called an indirect kick. As far as I could be wrong. Wow. I might have some
You should be there. You want to be a ref? We need refs.
How much does it pay?
It's a volunteer job. But they give you free tacos at a party in the season and free beers, some cerveza.
Most of the stand-up I do is a volunteer job.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it'd be great for your material to be a volunteer ref in a parents-run league where you're not a parent.
Yeah.
I think you should do that. Billion-dollar idea or comedy idea.
Speaking of my stand-up,
yeah,
I got some dates to promote.
All right.
First of all, tonight I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar for the very first time in my life, but we're going to get to that in a minute.
All right. Yes.
But before that.
Don't get ahead of yourselves here.
Don't get ahead of yourselves. Thursday, May 17th, I will be at the Yonkers Comedy Club in Yonkers, New York.
I've heard you're king of Yonkers now. Rumor has it you had a killer show the other night.
I did. I went there last weekend. I went there on Sunday. Killed it.
Yeah.
Invited me back. They said, how soon can you get back? I said, Thursday. And they said, yes. If I would have said today, they would have. No, that's not actually how it happened.
You're like the D.C. Benny of Yonkers, I hear.
I am the D.C. They asked me to come back, so it's going to be a blast. I'm going to be there May 17th, May 18th. I'm all over the place. Two shows in Philadelphia, the Philly Comedy Club.
Wow.
Right
after the Sixers win the lottery, like two nights earlier, I think.
Or they get into the NBA Conference Finals.
Possibly.
We'll see what happens. Oh, yeah. We'll know. Okay. And so two shows there with Jeremy Pinsley, who was on the podcast. Abby Wachute is going.
Oh.
Former podcast.
Yeah.
Controversial podcast.
Great podcast. We're now Facebook friends, so, you know.
And where else am I going to be? And then I'm flying to Shanghai, and I'm doing the China International Comedy Festival May 20th to the 28th.
All right.
I'm headlining there on the 28th.
That's the tour everyone does. Yonkers, Philly, Shanghai.
That's
Bam.
It. And Singapore is the final Singapore. One of that. June 1st and 2nd, I'm in Singapore. That's all. Cap. Oh, Amazon, guys.
Yeah?
You've been supporting us. We really need everyone to buckle down and start using Amazon because it's been good, but it could be a little better.
Yeah.
So
Jeff Bezos needs a little more money.
He's barely making ends meet.
Yes.
So what you do is you go, if you're going to shop on Amazon, you go to lostinamericapod.com first. You click in the upper right-hand corner. There's that banner. You click that or that advertisement. Click that. That'll take you back to Amazon. Do your regular shopping. A percentage comes to the show. Cap, should we get to Lost in America?
Play the music.
Cap, we're back. Shout out to De'Aaron Roots. Love the music. Working hard. Tax season's over in Sacktown, so he's probably got his feet back on the beach somewhere. But back to us. I'm Lost in America this week.
All right. Tell me before I ask you about the beaches of Sacramento.
So I alluded in the intro, I alluded to a show I'm doing tonight at the Comedy Cellar. I'm doing it in the lounge, which is the side room. If you're listening and you want to come out, get your tickets now. Come to the show. It's me. It's Des Bishop. It's Ronnie Chang.
Wow, it's a reunion, Lost in America reunion.
It's
episode.
My first time. This is the number one comedy club in the world.
Right.
No exaggeration.
The Cellar. Everyone knows it. They saw it on the Louis C.K. show.
In every single movie. In Bob's movie, whatever
in
he
the
did.
Comedian.
The comedian.
Yeah.
It's in everything.
It's legendary.
No exaggeration, the best club in the world. Comedians work their whole life to be able to get to perform there. I have worked my entire comedy career to be able to perform there. Now it's happening. Now I'm excited.
Wow.
And guess what they said?
They said you're going to headline and do an hour?
No, they said you're going to do a set like everybody else, but this show's in Chinese. You have to speak Chinese in this show. So everything you've ever spent years and years preparing for to perform here, Can't use
it. Is everybody speaking Chinese or just you?
Everybody's speaking Chinese.
Oh, it's a theme.
Des
night.
Bishop. It's a Chinese language show. Des Bishop, Ronnie Cheng, myself, well, Chinese.
Well, Des Bishop, as we know from when we talked to him, has done stand-up in Chinese before.
Exactly. He did a lot of extensive.
Ronnie events. Is, I mean, he's a native speaker, right?
So, he's Malaysian, but I think his parents
yeah,
he might have grown up speaking it a
so
bit.
So he's probably done comedy in that, or is this?
I don't know.
We don't
I'm
know.
Not sure.
All right. And you, I mean, what about you? Have you done this before? You've talked.
No! No, I've done it once.
Right.
I've done stand-up in Chinese one time, like 6 years ago, and I bombed through the floor.
Right. I remember you mentioning that on a podcast before you bombed.
But here's
so
what
that's
Des
great,
always
great
said.
To know.
Des was telling me this. He goes, it's easy. You just, because once you're good at Chinese, and once you're good at stand-up,
yeah.
Then you just flip the language, and you're fine, you know? But here's the problem. 6 years ago, I wasn't good at stand-up.
Right. So you think that's the difference.
So I'm hoping that's the difference.
Are you going to do, like, your normal stand-up bits, or like, in Chinese? Or are you going to do different specific ones? Or you haven't decided yet?
I think I'm going to have to do different specific ones. Because I'm trying to remember to the one time I did it,
right.
That what my failure was. One is I got super nervous.
Uh-huh.
The second was that the entire audience was all Chinese people. A lot of them probably didn't know how to speak English. So that would already be a different tier. Because it would be Chinese-Americans.
Yeah, I'm curious what the audience would be like.
Or it would be, like, people who speak Chinese, but they're from America.
Right.
So I bet I can cheat a little bit, right? I can say certain words in English and they'll get it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing
was, probably go back and forth. No one's going to come running in if you use a little bit of English.
Hopefully not.
Just kick you off the stage.
And then the other thing is my mistake was I tried to use the exact bits but just translate word for word. And yeah. I was too focused on like getting the words right.
Right.
So I think I just got to pick out some old stories from China and tell them.
Tell them. You could do your, one of your things you do in America without spoiling it. You speak some Chinese in that, so.
I think I'll do that bit.
Yeah, do that bit, yeah.
Maybe the story about going to North Korea. I mean, almost skiing into North Korea.
Yeah, that works.
I got to learn how to say North Korea in Chinese.
So that.
What are you? So what should I do, Cabot? What's your advice?
You're asking me advice on speaking
well,
foreign languages.
You asked me advice on parenting, so yeah.
I think you should resort to some prop comedy. But never forget the wise words of what Carrot Top or
genius.
I think you should physical comedy too.
It's actually very smart because Chinese people do love prop.
Yeah.
If you stand on a stage and there's a banana peel and you slip, standing over.
Yeah, you should do. Speaking of parenting things, I mean, I do this with the kids all the time. You know, you just do a little fall down, a little Kramer Seinfeld action. You
hopefully, I'm not going to do that.
You just do a little like.
I don't want to pull. I don't want to pull a Kramer.
Well, what is the N word in Chinese?
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm not saying go that far. I'm talking more of his stylings with like entrance.
When he was on Seinfeld?
On Seinfeld, yes. Not as a stand-up comic.
Not at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
You know, I could do material. My kids wouldn't get it, but when I'm trying to get them to listen to me,
yes.
Sometimes a little like fall over. Trip accidentally, a little banana peel action goes a long way. Wins the audience over. You know.
Hopefully these Chinese speakers are all 4 and 6 year olds.
Yes, that would be helpful. Well, you've played a room that actually prepared you. You played a room of kids, right? So
how does that prepare me for Chinese adults?
No, it prepares you for the difficultness of not having like a normal.
Oh, that's true.
Audience.
I did. Yes, I did do. And again, are you saying Chinese people aren't normal?
I'm just saying your normal going audience.
Yes, I did do a show for all kids, and I will say I did pretty well. And I did so well on that show. That's how I got the show in Yonkers.
Oh, yeah.
The guy saw me. The scouts come to the kids show.
So you're saying Yonkers crowds now are like 4 and 6 year olds.
Yeah. So, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Come on out to that. That's tonight at the Comedy Cellar Lounge and the Fat Black Pussycat.
Fans of the pot, fans of your comedy, I mean, you guys got to come because you're either going to see like a huge new development in your career.
Yes.
Or you're going to see a giant falling on your face.
A train wreck. You could see an explosion.
Yeah, either one's a great thing to witness.
It's like going to NASCAR.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun
It's like
way.
Seeing me in a live pod. You know, you don't know what you're getting. But
exactly.
So
that'll be fun. Get tickets to that. That's it. Okay, Cap. Ints is an app.
You should Ints this show.
Ints the show. I don't know if that's legal, but do it. You can get Ints. By the way, that'd be amazing. It's the first time I get let in the Comedy Cellar. People are Intsing and I get kicked out for life.
All right, guys, don't Ints it. But if you do, don't tag Turner in it.
Don't tag me. Ints is an app. You can get it in the app store. It's up to 5 minute audio recordings. Personal messages to friends. It's a social media platform.
Yeah.
And you got a funny idea? Ents it.
And if you're fans of this podcast, I'm doing some post-game thoughts on the soccer team on the Ents.
Oh!
You know, Bowie was just asking me about it.
Sideline report.
Sideline report. You know, get the... It's like press conference. I interview the kids, try to get the thoughts on what went right, what went wrong.
You should actually do that. That's an amazing idea.
So that's...
And also, word is...
Yeah.
Accountant to the apps, I mean to the pod, CPA to the pod, Gary Sparks.
Yeah.
Is soon getting ints.
Oh, coming soon.
He said he has a lot of choice words for us and he's going to start inting them.
I want to hear those. I wish I could teach my dad how to ints.
A lot of corrections to the pod.
Oh, corrections.
Yeah. He thinks we're getting a lot of stuff wrong. So, well, and also maybe we can ints him questions about tax season when it rolls around next year. So that's it.
Next year. Now, if you want to cook the books, maybe we'll do a feature next year where he will help you itemize your deductions.
That's a good bit. That's a good segment. Book cooking with Gary Sparks.
Book cooking.
All right. Should we get to Will Slavens?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Come on in. We're back with our guest, Will Slavens. Will,
what's popping? What's popping?
Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thanks
to
for
the
having
show.
Me back. One last time I was here, like a year ago or something.
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was hot outside.
You taught me how to get my kids in order.
Yeah. You beat the kids' ass yet?
I'm happy to report that as of now, my kids spit on me and pull their pants down in public, and they're just a total disaster.
They've gotten worse.
They've gotten worse.
Who wear the pants in the house, man?
Well, they don't wear the pants. Is the problem? Yeah. That's
they don't even wear pants.
They don't even wear pants in public. It challenged me. My daughter just rips off her pants. My hair's
getting
gray.
That's the perfect time to whoop that ass. When she take her pants off, you get the belt.
That's a good point. Teach him a lesson.
Yeah, I think you misunderstood the question of who wears the pants in the family. And you're like, my kids don't wear pants.
No, I understood the question perfectly fine. And, you know, my wife is like, we have to figure out, like, we both are like, how do we figure out how to discipline them properly?
Your wife,
theory.
Your
we're
wife
going around in circles, all these different theories and books and stuff. This is the man right here.
Yeah, no books.
Your wife is white.
She's
two white people. Household of two white people. Like the kids. If one of them was a person of color,
yeah,
those kids would have been in order. It would have been like attention.
See,
so one of us should leave the other for a person of color, so the step parent can put the kids in line.
I told you, man, I'm going to start a service called, you know, hire black parent.
Yes, I love that. I love it.
Yeah,
I think I think Lost in America Studios needs to record that, maybe a sketch.
Ooh, yeah. I like that idea.
No, that's why it's good. That's why I have my wife's Chinese, so that she can do all the discipline.
Tiger mom it.
Yeah, and I can chill and
instead of a babysitter, we call it Urban Sitter.
Urban Sitter.
That's a great app. Urban Sitter, $1 billion idea.
Yeah.
And away we go.
So, Will, you were just...
And it'll be like Uber. You know what I'm saying? It'll be an app where you look. Oh shit! I need an urban sitter.
Right, and then surge pricing is when the kids when you're like, I'm in public and the kid's got his pants off. It's like that's gonna cost you four times as much.
When your kids start acting up, and you pull out urban sitter, right?
Yeah, okay.
And then anybody around they go through a test, a screening.
Yeah.
All our urban cities go through a screening. They know how to whoop ass. Not enough and not too little.
You certify them. You stand behind their whoop ass skills.
Yeah.
Five stars.
You know the approval badge on
their ratings.
They have one of those.
Yeah. Five star rating.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a babysitter last night, white girl, and she's texting me being like, the kids are spitting at me. They're not listening. What do I do? I'm like, what do you do? I don't know what to do. That's why I put you in charge for that.
Call the urban sitter.
With urban sitter, you will call them, hey, I didn't hear nothing from you. Is everything okay? Oh, yeah, they're asleep. They're asleep.
it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're asleep.
Oh, yeah, they're asleep. They're asleep. They've been asleep since 9 a.m. Yeah, they still asleep. They
choked them out at 2. And now they're doing fine.
You guys don't understand. Ain't no choking.
No choking.
When you get, I'm not sure if you got beatings when you're little. After you get a beating, tired as shit. You go right to sleep.
Yeah.
You wake up after a nice ass whooping. It's like you got a workout.
Yeah, that's why the Gary Sparks whoop you.
Kids in the hood got six pack.
And just from getting their ass kicked.
Get some ab strength out of it.
I am trying to get back in shape, so maybe just getting my ass beat regularly.
Urban sitter your ass.
I'll get an urban sitter for myself. And then in certain neighborhoods, it's got to be, you just can't find, like where there's Westchester. Yeah. Like, oh, that's
surge
like.
Surge pricing, too. Yeah,
super expensive.
Always going to be, ooh, that's like black, what's that on Uber?
Uber Black.
Uber Black. Exactly.
Uber pools where you get like five guys to come over and be
your
kids?
That's where they take over multiple kids, like kids together.
Right.
Because I'm sure some of my kids' friends aren't so well-behaved either. So get them all together for a play date.
So, you know, like Uber pool, he's dropping someone off and coming to you. So Urban Sitter, he's whooping someone's ass now. He's on his way to your kid in a few.
All right, done.
Billion-dollar idea.
That's
number one.
That's the best. We're going to have to rank all our ideas one day. That one's going to be top of the charts.
I think so. So, Will, you were in Australia, but you were just there for the Melbourne Festival.
Yeah, Melbourne Festival, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and the Sydney Comedy Festival.
Two festivals.
I was also supposed to do the Perth International Comedy Festival, but then I had to come back to work on my film. Yeah, so I had to cancel. So anybody from Perth listening to this, I apologize. I want to come back. I'm definitely coming back next year, so stay tuned.
And if you have any unruly kids in Perth, Urban
is coming to a town near you. Perth, stand by. Perth is a lot of work.
How's the film going?
It's coming along, man. We the script is so tight. We're still raising some more money, but yeah, it's coming along.
So for our listeners, explain what it is again.
Me and my partner, Brian Kennedy, we wrote a movie called I Am Maurice. It's about a Haitian boxer that comes to America to pursue his love for boxing. And there's a lot of walls a lot of obstacles he got to overcome. So the movie's mostly about the fight outside the ring than inside the ring. And it just takes you on the path of someone who's just passionate and the love for a thing, and he's doing whatever he got to do to make it happen.
Sounds like comedy.
Yeah.
But you do box, right? You've been you're boxing.
You were just boxing now? Were you just at the gym?
Yeah, just getting ready for the movie.
So you were okay, but you were also I want to get to that stuff, but also Pakistan is where I want to Pakistan. You went there what 6 months ago?
Yeah. I went Pakistan. It was so dope.
With Umar?
Umar and Carmen Lynch and Jinx.
Oh, Carmen Lynch.
Yeah.
And Jinx?
Yeah, Jinx.
Oh, Jinx Yale.
That was just a nice show, man. Everybody killed.
And you went to, so it was stand-up shows in Pakistan.
Yep.
One show or how? What was
no, it was like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I believe. And Sunday, I think, maybe. But it was packed. The shows was great, though. I mean, it's probably some of the best audiences I ever performed in front of. They just want to laugh. And it was just so good. I would love to tape a special there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So what did they, do they have local stand-up there? Or had they seen it before?
Yeah. I think we did like a local open mic.
Oh, cool.
Obviously it's local. We did an open mic there on a Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I got to meet some of the local comics there. That was great. They were just hungry and the crowd were just there, just, you know, want to laugh. And
what did they think? Like, how did they react to you, or what'd you do? What'd you do? Like walking around, like besides the shows, did you go see stuff?
Yeah. Just walking. We went to first McDonald's I ever went through that had a metal detector. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was cool. I'm like, oh shoot, they got metal detector.
What town was that? Where is that in?
In Karachi.
In Karachi. Okay.
Yeah. And there was a drive through. We got on a camel. We went to the drive through on the camel.
That's awesome.
Me and Carmen Lynch. It was fun. It was just cool. And then one of my favorite restaurants probably now in the world is Barbecue Tonight in Karachi. Yeah. So
shout out. Shout out to Barbecue Tonight.
Is it better? Yeah. Is it Kansas City style or St. Louis style?
Pakistan style.
Pakistan. Okay.
What does that mean?
The food was like dal. You know, dal. They use a lot of chickpeas.
Dal. Not dog, doll.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's spelled D-A-A-L.
Yeah.
Doll. Oh, okay.
It's like but it's chickpeas.
Yeah, chickpea. Chickpea, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really good. And they had like the rice was... I don't
is there meat
rice,
or there?
I didn't eat meat. I ate the fish. They had great fish. The sauce, the spices. Just the spices. I can't even describe it. It's really good. Trust me. There and Melbourne probably got the best restaurants.
Really?
Melbourne. Pakistan and Melbourne have the best restaurants?
Oh, yeah.
It's one and two.
Well, Pakistan. Yeah. Well, Melbourne. You been to Melbourne?
I have not, no.
Dude, you've been to Melbourne.
I haven't, but I'm trying to go next year for the first time.
Andy. Dude, you got to go, man.
Andy Curtin, who you did the shows with.
Shout out to Andy Curtin, man. We did the festival together. we split the bill, and he was killing it.
Yeah, so he's trying to, he said he wants to talk to me about doing it next year. Andy's you probably the person who gets mentioned most on this podcast who's never been on this podcast. Because he hasn't been here since
he's
we
like,
started.
Other, he's than like my, Stan other than my
kids. Yeah, exactly.
Him and, yeah, Teddy, him and Teddy Kaplan are in one, too.
Yeah, him and Kaplan's kids. All right. Yeah, yeah. Get the most mentions.
Him and Kaplan's unbeaten kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Gonna, yeah. Does Andy need a beating? No. He's good.
He could probably use a beating.
Yeah. Yeah, we stayed at Andy's parents' house.
They in were, Australia. Because yeah, he's from Melbourne.
He's from Melbourne, yeah.
He lives in China now. Right.
He moved to China. In,
yeah. Exactly. So Andy's the guy I started the comedy club with in Shanghai.
Packed up everything and went to China.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to learn Chinese. Had to recruit Chinese people to do comedy so he could keep the comic business going. It just, I mean, he's Maurice. I mean, the movie I wrote, I Am Maurice, he's Maurice. He's a white Maurice.
We should do a remake.
Instead of boxing, he's doing it with comedy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm familiar with the story of Andy a little bit.
Yeah. No, I'm saying how Maurice left Haiti to America to pursue boxing. He left Melbourne to China to pursue comedy, which is harder than Maurice's story.
Right. Wait, so back to Pakistan.
Yeah.
What did anyone? I'm trying to. Your act is pretty like universal. I wouldn't see you would have to change anything, right?
I make adjustments, but also I you know I try to get to know the town.
Yeah.
So I could talk about them to them, you know, whether good or bad.
What surprised you about it?
That was just so chill and laxed.
Yeah.
Even though the traffic is probably just as bad as China, you know China traffic. Yeah, China, yeah. They just drive like they just. Like, you know how, like, you pull out in the driveway, you look left and right to see if anybody's coming?
Yeah.
China just pull out.
They just pull
like, yo, it is what it is. Ride or die.
Yeah, but if you're driving, you look left, right, up, and down.
Huh?
You don't know where it's coming from. Like, if I'm driving myself.
You look up?
You look everywhere.
What can come from up?
That's how Chinese people do.
Bamboo just, falling out of the...
Dude, they ride the mopeds on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like...
I've been hit by a moped walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah,
and the guy just didn't stop, like hit and run.
Yeah, and it
hit me and just kept moving.
Matter of fact, if you would have stopped,
like you hit by a moped.
If you would have stopped, like all the everybody was like, "Why'd you stop? Why'd you stop?"
Yeah.
Right. Well, it only works if everybody's crazy. That's why.
That's why like, they drive.
If a few people screw it up,
most
by
people
not being,
who get into accidents are people who's not from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because you got to fit into the flow.
The flow of craziness.
Get in where you fit in is what they.
Yeah,
New York's a much more mini version of that. But if you go out to like L.A. or somewhere, people don't know how to drive because
New York is nowhere near you.
Well, not like that, but I mean compared to like
when you go. Trust me, it looked like New Yorkers drive crazy, but when you go to China, like holy shit.
Was it crazier in Pakistan?
It was just as crazy.
Equally,
but you know what? The thing about Pakistan, I saw entire families: mother, father, three kids, grandmother. All on a moped.
Oh, they had that in China too.
Oh, well,
it's like a clown moped.
Dude,
Pakistan, smaller families. There's like
Pakistan. In China, you're going to have one kid.
Yeah.
Pakistan, two now, but, you could have a whole family chilling. I saw a baby, maybe a 2-month-old baby on a handlebar riding with the wind in her face. Like, no helmet, nothing. She was like,
oh my God.
No helmet on a 2-month-old.
Just like, holy shit.
They went, you're a kid. They should,
if they come out, if they start doing rap, they're going to be the gangsters. That's going to be some gangster hip-hop right there.
Why? Why? Because, like, there'd be a big...
Dude, they live with ride or die. That's how we do.
Yeah, right.
Pakistan, a new...
Pakistan was just... It was great. It was... the temperature... Okay, I went in November, so it was nice and... It was hot-ish. So I'm assuming they don't have cold winters. You know, I was a little... I wasn't scared at first when I was going. But then and everybody was like, yo, where are you going next week? What are you doing next week? Oh, I'm going to Pakistan. So mostly Americans, my American friends are like, oh, you're going to Pakistan? You better be careful. You blah, 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 blah. And so they made me know. I'm like, what? I'm like, I was excited to go. And then when they put in this, yo, dude, we love to live in fear, man. So they started filling my head up with this fear shit. I'm like, and I started getting nervous. And then when I got there, I'm like, oh, what? There was nothing to be afraid of. So it's like, I think we, in America, not just you, Kaplan, who live in the bubble, the entire America live in the bubble.
Yeah.
America don't go out and try to meet and get to know other cultures and countries and foods and things. They just, whatever the TV tells them, they're going to take that as, well, I know all about Pakistan. I saw it on Fox News. You know, Pakistan is not in the Middle East?
Yeah.
He knows.
Oh,
but he's
oh,
yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
asking the wrong person.
It's next to India.
I know where it is. If you're asking. Pretty good geography.
But you're right. A lot of people don't know that, probably. But, right?
No, yeah, according to Fox News, in the Middle East.
Yeah, but it's also that's where they found Bin Laden.
Yeah, did you go to the compound? Because we already had a guest.
Yeah, because they Bin Laden smart because they was
you heard
they
it
was,
here.
They was like, well, let's go find them. Let's look in the Middle East countries. So we're like, let me go to Asia. They ain't gonna find me there. And yeah, that's why it took took us forever to find him because he was
in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Well, he was in Afghanistan before, right?
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah.
But like you're asking Will, like he's the expert on Bin Laden's whereabouts.
I know, like I was keeping up with his tweets.
You were just there. Yeah. I got a question. Culturally, are they curious about America? Are they like up on...
They know about America. So
they know it all.
That's why Americans could go there and perform like almost anywhere around the world because... our influence through the news and film and television. So they know a lot about us through our, you know, entertainment.
So it's like if you're at that party and they're playing music, it's going to be the same music they would play here.
Yeah, but our entertainment is very influential all around the world, especially hip-hop.
And so did you...
Except for an iCaplin's house. I'm sure you don't listen to hip-hop at your house.
We listen to kids' hip-hop, kids' pop.
What?
Kids pop. What That's is it?
Something they make you vomit.
No, the kids, they take regular songs and they make them, you know, they take out the bad words. Basically.
Oh, didn't you go see a kids, like hip hop?
I did. I saw what's his name? Mars Blackman. That's the.
I don't know.
Lars. MC Lars, DJ MC Lars. He was a kid's rapper.
So they take.
But the guy was actually white, though. So
it was a white kid's rapper.
So is hip hop without the curse words? It's like watching porn and they wear condoms.
Well, I don't. Well, my kids, the porn they watch, kids porn, as they call it, does have it has condoms because you know you got to teach kids about safe sex.
Wait, they show you, they show white kids porn?
No, I'm joking.
did your mama curse and tell you not to curse when you was growing up?
Did my mama curse and tell me not to? My mom did not curse.
No,
I can tell you that. I don't know why I think about
you.
It. Marissa Sparks
did not
curse.
Did your parents ever tell you to do something, not to do something, but they did it?
Did they tell
me? Drink alcohol, I would say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm gonna use
what about you?
Don't get pregnant, and she had four kids.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But you took that to heart, man. You don't have any kids, right?
Yeah.
No kids. I pull out.
Yeah.
Look at that. Your mama told you to pull out?
Plus, I haven't had sex in a long time.
There you go. That'll help.
How long's
what's
a long
the
time?
Deal? What's...
Long time? December 3rd, 2016.
Wait, you remember the exact date?
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Yep.
That's like a year and a half.
My last girlfriend.
Is that how you decide to do it? Only if you're in a relationship with him?
Yeah. That's been my life for a long time. I mean, I don't have to be, but since 2007, it's been like that.
I think when I met you, you told me you were celibate.
Yeah, I was celibate from 2007 to 2015.
Whoa.
Then I got with... Alana, I guess I could say. I'm not saying her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shouts.
And then we was chilling and, you know, enjoying life.
Right. And then December 3rd, 2016.
And then...
you had sex with her and then that was the end?
Things didn't work out.
Yeah.
Wait, why? So what was the reason to become celibate?
When?
2007, whatever it was.
Oh, I just wanted to... That was a time when I just wanted... So, you know, like in life, these things control you, whether it's procrastination, whether it's eating bad, whether it's just having sex with just anybody. So I want to be in control. So I changed my diet. I went from 220 to 150.
Oh.
I wanted to control what I put in my mouth. I stopped. Having sex to me, sex to me is like, it's a lot of sexual energy to someone you don't care about like that. So I'm not gonna give all my sexual energy to somebody like and then I'm gonna try and get rid of and lie to, you know. I started exercising. I started writing more. I wrote like 9 scripts. The Maurice one is one of them. So that's it. Was more of a what are you doing with your life and why are you letting these things control you? You know what I'm saying? So we all could do more in our lives, but we choose not to. So I choose. You know, you could complain all day. Oh, this sucks. My life sucks. But then what are you doing about it?
Right.
What are you doing about to change? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm not super successful. I don't have a lot of money. But at least I'm not complaining. I'm doing. I'd rather do than yabba dabba do.
Yabba dabba do. That's.
And so, what about you? Don't drink alcohol, right?
I don't drink.
Yeah,
and you, all, you did all these things at once until like when you.
I never drank. I used to eat so bad, dude.
Yeah.
And now unhealthy. You don't eat. You eat fish, but you don't eat other meat. Right?
Yeah, but I'm planning on giving up fish. My ultimate diet would be vegan / raw foods. Raw food. You know what raw foods
yeah,
is?
Yeah.
A lot of people do not.
Turner's
know
diet is based off 7-Eleven.
Like raw food.
He just had a slice from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, but most people think like, yes. Oh, the raw meat. It's not. It's like a vegan lifestyle, but. Times 10 is
less processed
like,
than any because it's vegan can have stuff that's super processed and stuff. And it's
yeah,
vegan,
yeah, they eat a lot of and you know, they eat pretty bad.
And how do you think that's
you ever see some fat vegans?
Yeah, probably.
He's like, whoa, you when you see him, like, whoa, you look like you eat everything. Oh, no, I'm a vegan. I'm like, oh,
Jimmy Schubert has a great line about that. He goes, what are you doing? Dipping the celery in chocolate? Well, so how has that affect you since when you made the change in 2007? Did you
man,
feel
I felt I so just a bunch of different problems I used to have. Like I had hypertension, high blood pressure, I had diabetes too, bad knees. I had I couldn't sleep at night. I had this back problem, this terrible back problem. Once a month, it'll activate. Even when I breathe in, I hurt. Like so, I had to breathe in really slow. Like. And it's just, it was the worst. And so when I lost the weight, but it was actually when I gave up dairy is when the back problem like completely went away.
Really?
See, I've got this like arthritic hip thing going here. Maybe I should.
Dude, look, everything,
I have back problems.
Everything,
he's got back problems.
Yeah. Everything in your body that you're feeling kind of pain or whatever is all from the foods you
I just
put
ate
in your body.
A disgusting like pizza
well,
thing.
Then it's going to come out disgusting in the way in your body, whether through hypertension, high blood pressure, or extra butt cheek. You know what I'm saying?
Extra butt. All right. Calvin's
got third butt cheek going on.
He's inspiring me here. I'm going to give up. I'm going to eat better.
You going to stop having
drinking.
Sex?
No, but.
I mean, I'm married. And.
No, but check it out.
Wrong,
no,
but.
The thing is, Kaplan, is like you could complain. Like, that. I used to do the same thing. Oh, man, I slept wrong. And I saw my back. Oh, damn, my knees hurt. It's what you put in your mouth. So your body's taking these foods and it's foreign to your body. So, you know, I don't know what to do with this. You know what? Let me just make a tumor out of it.
Yeah,
let me make it hypertension or diabetes. Or you know what? He ain't got no tits. He loves tits.
Give him some tits.
Yeah. So it's like,
I mean,
your body's trying to process these foods that is not supposed to eat. And then we blame everything but the food. We blame everything else.
Yeah, because you don't want to change.
Oh, I'm getting old. Oh, man, these kids. Yeah.
No, but my kid the other day was Ruby, my younger one. My daughter was hitting on me, and she's like, Daddy's got boobies too or something. I was like, oh, my God, I got to get together.
See, and now she's going to grow up and make her have tits too. That's going to be the first book. My dad got my dad's tits.
I got my dad's tits.
A child book. I got my dad's tits.
That's the name of her comedy special. She already has one.
Book.
She's got to be funny.
I got my dad's tits. That's a great name of her first special.
Yeah, she's going to be a comedian. She's pretty funny. So, inspiring. You're right. I gotta get together. This is it. This podcast.
Yes.
I'm going to start.
But can I say, if you want really true advice, can I give you three tips before you start?
Yes.
Number one tip.
Mm-hmm.
Answer the question. You have to do it now. What do you really want? Do you want to be healthy or not? Because if you don't, then fine. You live your life as a fat ass. It's fine.
Kaplan.
I like this. This is good.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with it. That's your choice.
Right.
Then
choose to be fat ass.
Yeah, but then don't complain about, don't just live. Just know that the reason why you're going through aches and pains or you're going, you know, you got to have a third heart transplant, you know, bypass or whatever. It's because of the foods you eat. And just accept that life. But if you choose to eat healthy, then boom. Number two, don't jump right into it. The best way is you educate yourself about these foods. What happened is, think of it like this. When we go to war, or any country go to war with another country, they don't just run right in. They learn about their military. They learn about, you know, how many their ships, how many guns, whatever they have. And then they strategically plan. Same thing with the war on fat. You learn what to eat, what your weaknesses are. One of my weaknesses back then was pizza, right? So weak to pizza. So what I used to do, on my way home, there was a pizza store. I know if, I'm going to see it, I'm going to. I used to take the long way. So I'll go around the block. It'll take me an extra 10 minutes to get home, but it was worth it because I had to see that damn pizza.
It's like I keep the kids away from Softy by going out of my way.
Exactly.
I got to treat myself like I'm treating the kids. I'll try to walk them away from the ice cream truck so they don't
just
see
just tell
it.
Them, who said that joke? Just tell them whenever they hear the music, that means they ran out of ice cream.
Yeah, I heard that joke somewhere. I don't know who did that.
I don't know who said it. It's funny as shit.
Someone told that to me.
Daddy, the ice cream. Oh, yeah, that's the music. Yeah, they ran out of ice cream. That's the only time they play the music.
What's the third
and what's
tip?
The third, yeah.
The third tip, then after you educate yourself, then I would advise you to watch these three things and then get into it. Number one, there's two documentaries. One is called Food Inc.
All right. I think I've seen that one, actually. So
then the
I'm
next
ahead.
One is called Forks Over Knives. Mm. Those two and a book called Skinny Bitch.
Skinny Bitch?
Yeah.
I can't be seen in public reading a book called Skinny Bitch.
Put a thing on the cover.
All right. Put a Sports Illustrated around it. Yeah. Look at that.
All right.
Will Sylvan's.
But until I do
parenting.
All that work, I can like eat whatever I want because I have to get ready. So
with oh, no. My bad. That's part of the second tip.
Oh, wow.
The educating yourself. Right, so. Right. So part two is educate yourself. So
same
by
bitch.
those three things. The third tip is I missed something.
No, I'm laughing at the skinny bitch.
Oh, the third thing is you really have to give yourself a chance. So what happened is people get into this lifestyle. Don't call it diet, by the way. It's a new lifestyle. New change. You want to change your lifestyle. It's like when you leave your apartment, you buy a house and you leave your apartment. Oh, I buy my house. But you don't go back to that apartment.
No.
You know, I miss this place. No, you want to change that lifestyle. So you want to change that your diet, change your lifestyle completely. So what happened is people get into this lifestyle. They start eating these foods. And it's awful. And they don't get their taste buds time to change. They don't get their bodies to get used to these new flavors, these new sauces. So what happened is when I was changing, I just gave myself time. And when I got used to it, when I stopped adding sugar, salt to my foods, and then you know you could most foods they have natural salt and sugar, you could actually taste it. But we become so desensitized to it because we add so much
salt. Oh, yeah.
Salt.
And then if you go that way, you become like fruit all of a sudden tastes good and, you know, like tastes much better because that's sweet then. That's
exactly. So to me, all these foods are so, it's like, I'm like, this got a lot of sugar. Back then, I'm like, man, I would pour some sugar on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sugar on your grapes. Exactly. But how do you get your body to get used to being celibate? Because that's just like
that's just like
turning it off.
Well, you're married, so you don't want to be celibate. You want to bang your wife away.
Can I ask, what did that do? Like, did it mentally change? Like, did you find
it's,
your
more it just creates discipline, man. It forces you to be disciplined. So it added to the part of like, so instead of playing video games, I went and wrote. You know what I'm saying? So you do more with your time is very valuable. The number one thing that's the most valuable in your life is your time. Mm. Is your time. So you know when people say, I'm waiting, there's so much you can do in the meanwhile. Meanwhile, what you gonna do? I'll play some games or I'll go hang out. Right. But that meanwhile, you could do so much in that meanwhile. That time is like you can't get it back. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
So that
distractions
it adds up. You know, all that meanwhile, or while you're waiting, or what you know, for something to happen, or I can't do this unless I do that. Well, what you gonna do in between that time? I don't know. I go play some games. I'll go
hit on a girl.
Yeah, I'll go watch TV.
Go have some sex.
Well,
when you're watching TV,
I'm waiting for the subway.
When you're watching TV or you're playing games, it's stuff that is not adding. You can't use that skill for nothing else. So now if you want to write a book like that example, I got my dad's tits. Let's say you want to write that book.
That's your name.
I got my dad's tits.
You could actually write that book. I bet you'll be successful. Because you're like, I got my dad's tits. It'll be funny as shit.
Yeah.
And then two things. Now you're doing this thing. And number two, it's giving you financial support.
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Chapter one.
And you got to, especially if you're if you're a comedian or you're anything artistic, you're a small business, whether you know it or not, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not going in 9 to 5 and a boss telling you like, okay, first do this, then do this, then do this. You just get up and you have to do all your own shit.
You got to do all your, yeah, exactly. So,
Great. That's it, dude. Look at that. That's
so I talked so much.
Buddha.
I'm sorry.
My dad went for the augmentation.
I got my dad's tits.
It was. I got my dad's
tits. I remember when they used to be so, they were sagging a little as he got older.
It's going to start as a kid's book, and then it's going to become a movie.
Like, feature film.
Not like they do a movie.
Yeah. Very gender neutral.
All right, Will, do you want to stick around for the news?
We got a little news action.
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Yeah. Let's do it. All right, play the music. First news story of the week. This comes to us from The Independent, Kaplan.
All right. That's an English rag, I believe, or newspaper.
China bans Peppa Pig because it promotes gangster attitudes, in quotations. Do you know Peppa Pig?
I have no idea what Peppa Pig is.
Peppa Pig, Cap, describe it.
Peppa Pig is an English TV show, a cartoon.
For children.
It's a show for where it's like...
Oh, I thought it was a food thing or something.
No,
Peppa
no,
Pig.
Yeah, you're always with the
vegan. I thought it was like pork.
It's a little cartoon pig that, like, my brother's kids watch. All kids watch Peppa Pig.
It's like a dad. It's I relate to it because the dad's kind of the lovable idiot. He's fat, too. And
it's very much a children's show.
It's very much a children's show. It's very wholesome.
So China bans Peppa Pig.
Bad guys or anything.
So China bans Peppa Pig because it promotes gangster attitudes.
I don't even know
in China. The censorship came after Peppa's likeness became popular with a subculture of internet users known as Shuhuiren, or society people, a group who some say hold anti-establishment views and gangster attitudes.
What is a gangster attitude in China? How is that defined?
It's okay. It's actually here. It says someone who runs...
Having two or more kids.
That is pretty gangster.
Yeah.
Someone who runs counter to the mainstream values and are usually poorly educated with no stable job.
Oh.
So that could be anybody.
Yeah, who basically, it said that they once blocked Winnie the Pooh previously.
They did.
Because they said that the tubby bear was compared by internet users to the president.
Wait, what? What?
You know Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh looks like the president of China.
Some people said.
So everybody was making jokes about that online, and so the government just banned Winnie the Pooh. As opposed to, they should have got you. They should have got a motivational speaker to come in and help the president lose some weight.
Yeah.
Get fat bitch, or what's the book called? Fat. Skinny bitch?
Skinny bitch. Get the president. Make him wear it. That would really blow
Give
it.
That to the president.
I mean, this is these cartoons, both Winnie the Pooh and Peppa Pig, to save you guys the details of, are just not that, they're like the most harmless. It's not even like a bad guy. It's not violence. It's like,
yeah.
These are ones you want people to watch. They have good, I don't know.
Well, this is truthfully the problem with censorship, is that you can't censor, you can censor a word, but you can't censor an idea. So if you just change the word a little bit, you know, it's like a never-ending process of trying to censor stuff if you want to go down
China,
that route.
They could do all that.
I will say...
They can censor the idea.
Now that I'm thinking about it, though, they have one... They are onto one thing. One of the big things in Peppa Pig is that whenever there's puddles, because they're like pigs, I guess, they like to jump in the puddles. The kids like to splash.
Yeah.
So it fucking drives me nuts. See, my kids, whenever there's a puddle, they love to... They like go like to the puddle and jump in it.
Urban sinners will stop that shit.
Urban sinners.
So in Chinese kids, maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're concerned about Chinese kids. There's too much splashing every time
it
rains.
That's probably it.
They're ruining their clothes.
Also, China, they're closing in on they. You said they were opening, now they're closing back in.
Yeah.
When I went to Hong Kong for the first time this February, Hong Kong and Melbourne was probably the only two places I could live outside of New York.
Hong Kong's great. So Hong Kong's
freaking love Hong Kong, dude.
Yeah.
But then when I heard that, now since the British left.
Since you British, yeah.
It's been tightening up, tightening up.
I mean, first they came for Peppa Pig. Who knows what they're coming for next?
Yeah, so I heard that, Hong Kong is going to be, it's going to be pretty tight.
Next story. Oh, this is from the Washington Post, Kaplan.
Our sponsor.
Are they our sponsor?
Well, they're owned by Amazon.
Oh.
So we're actually, we're partners.
So we're in the bag for them.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay. So, teens Chinese qipao prom dress stirs cultural appropriation debate. A qipao. Do you know the qipao?
Dude, you got to repeat that. That was a lot of words. The first sentence.
A teenager's Chinese qipao dress. So a qipao is that skinny that Chinese women wear, that dress that has like maybe it's like red with flowers, really traditional, formal.
Yeah.
That formal dress.
So a white girl.
So basically a white girl wore the dress to her high school prom, and everybody's trying to figure out if it's cultural appropriation or not.
She just posted a picture of herself, and then all these people started ripping on her on Twitter, and it went viral.
So wait, are they? So they saying about her wedding that she's making fun of the culture, or
exactly.
This guy wrote, "My culture is not your prom dress." A man named Jeremy Lamb tweeted. And,
well, so why don't? I'll read the story here real quick. So Kaiza Dom went to that's the girl's name. She went to a vintage store in downtown Salt Lake City, where she came across a red cheap house. A cheap house is the name of the dress. The high-collared, form-fitting traditional Chinese dress. I thought it was beautiful, she said. But she's not Chinese. She appreciated the high neckline and a difficult trait to find in many prom dresses, she said. The dress really gave me a sense of appreciation and admiration for other cultures and their beauty. But online, Jeremy Lamb, who's a Chinese-American, said, "My culture is not your prom dress. You got to stop wearing this dress."
Not Jeremy Lamb, the player for the basketball player. This guy's is.
Yeah, but the thing is, hold on. So Jeremy Lamb is playing a game that's not his culture.
No, different people. Sorry.
Well, no.
That's Jeremy Lin.
sorry. I was thinking Jeremy.
No, this is just some online whatever.
Some online person just tweeted at it, and he's like ripping on it because he's Chinese, right?
He's Chinese-American. He's
Chinese-American.
Yeah. But here's what happened. They went to China and asked Chinese people in China, and they said it was great. They loved it. They thought it was like really cool.
Dude, Chinese people are not offended.
No, they're not.
We in America, white people get offended for Chinese people. Like if you act like you say you act Chinese, people like we don't care, motherfuckers. No,
yeah, well they thought it was cool because they were like, oh wow, someone in America wants to see our cult. Like,
but also she's not wearing it in a way of making fun of. There was a group of white people that was making fun of blacks by being black faced or wearing gangster, big chains.
Yeah, that would be.
That's making fun of.
Right.
Totally.
In this case, it's not making fun. So you have to look at the context.
Yeah, there's no context.
She was not like, "Hi, look at me, I'm Chinese, everybody." She was not talking Chinese. She was not throwing rice in people's faces. She's appreciating the culture. She's appreciating the beauty.
She seemed like a sweet kid in high school who's getting attacked online.
That's what they're starting to say now. The difference between cultural appropriation and some people saying cultural appreciation.
Yeah.
That's like a new...
I think...
That's what we do here. Cultural appreciation.
I think from the sounds of what she's saying, she just loved the culture. And she loves the,
So it's like, I mean, if you want to go back, I mean, dress, it's like just loving, like people wear fashion all the time. That's not.
And the guy who's Chinese American, right? I'm not attacking him, but how are you dressed? Are you dressed like Americans? So people could easily say, oh, look at you. You're making fun of Americans dressing like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Also, the thing is, so Han Chinese is the 90% of Chinese is Han. That's the culture. That's the heritage. But then this comes from that dress comes from the Manchu minority Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So unless he's one of those Manchus.
You got him on technicality. Manchus,
actually took it
from
another culture.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And
so
it's as you're saying, the fashion and all that's kind of a never-ending.
And if his Nikes are made in Vietnam and not China, he's also taking other people's culture everywhere.
There you go. I think it's what you're saying. It's if you're appreciating it or if you're making fun of it.
Yeah, from the sounds of her, she looked like she just,
I think she's chilled out. All right, last news story of the week from the New York Post.
One of our faves.
As we call the paper.
The paper of record.
A two-year-old boy is rescued after getting stuck in a claw machine, but he still didn't get the prize.
You know what a claw machine is?
No.
One of those...
Oh, yeah.
Pizza place?
Yeah. Like this is not an Asian story?
No. This is back to New York. This is back to... Okay, so firefighters say the boy was unhurt when he pulled out, of the game machine in the play area of an Allentown, Pennsylvania laundromat.
That's my hometown.
On Thursday, Kaplan's from Allentown.
That makes perfect sense.
How did he get in the machine?
Is this your children, Kaplan?
No, they don't. You think we go to a laundromat?
Authorities say he crawled in through the prize chute.
Wait, how little is this kid? This chute's
I've seen these videos of kids crawling those machines.
Yeah, so he's 2 years old.
Yeah,
I never even thought of crawling in.
I blame.
Well, I mean, not you now.
Well,
especially not before you do
vegan diet.
You do Will's workout plan
before I work. Bitch, I'm gonna get in there.
That's tip.
Yeah,
to your diet.
Bonus tip.
I'd say that.
Cap, that's your goal weight. Enough to where you can jump into the machine.
I mean, I love that they didn't give him a prize because that's like those things are. It's a scam, and you got to teach kids. It's a scam the whole way. And if you let the kid get the prize that way.
That's a little urban center in you.
It's well, it is because my kids always want me to play those stupid things, and I always hold out. I do hold. I never play those because you cannot win those things. Nobody
you can't
wins.
Win those claw games.
It's a big gypsy trick.
Your kid did the Wall Street way and just you know bully her way in there.
The Wall Street way.
Yeah, I'm gonna get me a gift. Fuck that shit. But, well, not your kid. This kid.
That's what I'm saying.
This kid. Dude.
So if you gave the kid the prize, you'd be teaching him a lesson that you can win. I don't think he's doing the Wall Street way. The kid is at the laundromat in Allentown. Probably not. The wealthiest of families, but still doesn't deserve a prize.
I would say he does deserve a prize because if he has the determination to crawl into the machine and try to get up there.
That kid said, fuck that claw. I'm going to get it myself.
Yeah. If the front door's not open, you go around to the back door. You break in the window.
So that kid he's a problem solver.
Exactly.
I guess you're right. Yeah, maybe I'm.
So you're looking at it the wrong way.
Well, I just get angry at claw machines because they're like the Mr. Softy trucks of life.
But you did nothing to solve the problem. That kid did.
You're right. Because when you see those machines and kids always want that shit. They always want you to put money
in.
And
that kid did something.
It makes you look like a loser as a kid. You can't win it as a parent.
Yeah, but the thing is, instead of getting mad, what did he do? He pulled back. Look, how can I get in there?
Right.
Boy, how can I get that thing? Oh, there's a door right there.
There's an opening right there. I think the kid's a hero.
I think
that
kid's a hero.
That's it. Will.
Wait. Tip number four before we go away.
Tip number four.
Great tease.
So number four tip is, exercise, right? So think about exercise. When people think of exercise, it's always like, oh, I got to exercise. As soon as the word exercise, it's just so hard to, But you have to find a physical activity you like to do and just do it a lot. It doesn't matter.
So boxing.
Whether it's swimming. Power walking. I like to walk faster. To walk a lot.
Podcasting.
Handball. Anything. Whatever. No. Physical activity. Podcasting now. Physical activity. No, you can hold it. Also, cheeseburger too.
Kaplan works out though. I'll stick up for him here. You do.
I do some CrossFit. CrossFit. I just don't do it enough. I got to do more.
Yeah.
Do some basketball.
Do more.
Tennis.
Yeah. Just find more time. I guarantee you. When you start the meanwhile.
Uh-huh.
When you start
the me time,
organizing the meantime, you're going to find out you have a lot of time.
The meanwhile
a lot
time,
more time.
I got it.
Yeah.
That's a neat, good term. In the meanwhile time.
Yeah. Don't waste the meanwhile time on BS.
I have the perfect song to end this podcast.
Oh, that's always key to give him a song.
I know what we're doing in the meantime. No. Yeah. That's it. Will, thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, where can people find you?
Go to willsylvans.com or go to... at Will Sylvans on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Actually, on Facebook is W Sylvans, S-Y-L-V-I-N-C-E. S-Y-L-V-I-N-C-E. And W for Will. And for Instagram and Twitter, Will Sylvans. Will with one L, W-I-L-S-Y-L-V-I-N-C-E. And also check out my film on Help Us Raise the Money. I Am Maurice. Go to GoFundMe.com/I Am Maurice.
Fantastic. And you're the comedy seller all the time.
Yeah. I do my new joke night Mondays and Thursdays.
And you
new
do
joke.
It. In, you oh, cool. do it in English, because Turner's going to be there.
I'm going to be there
in Chinese tomorrow.
Tonight in Chinese.
Tonight where?
At the lounge, the Fat Pack Pussycat.
Are you doing a show there?
Yeah, with Ronnie Chang and Des Bishop. We're all doing Chinese language stand up.
What time is that?
8:30.
I'm coming through.
Hang out.
So if you have any good Chinese jokes you want him to do,
exactly.
Give them to him now. He needs material.
All right, that's it. Will, thank you. Cap, what should we do?
Get lost.
Get lost.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.